All right, so pasuk, we're on page 742 in the Mitzudas David. In the Mitzudas David, on page 742 in Zechariah Paragimel.
Yeah. And my glasses. Okay,
let me put everyone on mute. Okay. Hineni mifateach pitucha. Zechariah says, I will be mifateach pitucha. What does this mean? So we learned yesterday, a lot of time describing the stone. The stone, there will be seven eyes. Seven eyes will be focused on every single stone. And we spent a lot of time on this yesterday. But the simplest understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide Shemira. Hashem is going to provide protection. He will guard the stones of Yerushalayim. He will guard Eretz Yisrael, the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, and furthermore, the pasuk says Hashem will etch onto every stone etches of beautification, designs, tsiyurim, images. Hilni mifateach pitucha hamakoyim baruch hu be'atzmo yachkoik tsurois al ho'avonim liyapoisam. Hashem will etch upon the stones images to beautify the stones. Hashem will assist, will grant siyata d'shmaya to the people building the Beis HaMikdash to produce a beautiful product, a beautiful mokim. Umashti, and then Hashem says, Umashti, I will set the pasuk. It's avoyin oritz ahi b'yom echad. What does that mean? Hashem will set. The word umashti, well, in this context, it means to remove. Hashem will remove the sins of the Jewish people. Hashem will send down a new spirit, a spirit of holiness, of teshuva, where Klal Yisrael will no longer do averos, and He will forgive us, and no one will want to do an avera ever again. Next pasuk.
The third.
So the symbol of the sitting is the third. Right? So the, obviously, there are many different layers of interpretation, and either you can say it's referring to the Bayis Sheni, which unfortunately the results did not come through, or you can say it refers to the Bayis Shlishi, which we know certainly will be the case. Okay, next pasuk Yud. As then it says, what is the significance of this? El tachas the gefen teina, the mitzudah stuff. It says, lehisaneg l'sheves b'tzilam v'lechol mipiryo mirov hatova sheyiyaz. You will delight. You will enjoy the gashmias. You will sit underneath the shade of the gefen, of the teina. Why specifically these two? I do not know. But to enjoy. It seems to say that the gashmias of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we have to see more what that means. Let's now go back to Rashi. I'm going back to Rashi. Rashi pasuk ches. The pasuk began with Shemano Yoshua Hakohen Hagadol Ata Vereicha Hayoshim Lefanecha Ki Anshei Mayv Hesema Ki Himi Mevi Es Avdi Tzemach. Pasuk Aleph. We learned the Metzilas yesterday. That Hashem is addressing Yeshua.
Is there a question about when this Nebuah is being given
to her? So it simply refers to, the simple understanding is the Mashiach, the Bayis Shlishi. He's describing what's going to be at the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the ultimate Geula.
All this information very meaningful, relevant to during the time of the construction?
Yes. So the answer to your question is that simply it was possible that Mashiach would have come with the building of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was meant to be what we call the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Sheni, we discussed many times at very great length, is that it was the Aschalta de Geula. With the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, if Klal Yisrael would have played their cards right, it would have morphed, it would have developed into the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we discussed many times. I'll just give you just one example to bring out this idea. We have in Nevi'im, in the Sefer Nevi'im, and in the Chumash, a blueprint, a very clear blueprint for the Mishkan, for the Bayis Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech, and the Bayis Shlishi. There is absolutely no mention anywhere in Tanakh, not even a single little hint of what the Bayis Sheni is supposed to look like. Okay, there's nothing. We learn Yechezkel here. Yechezkel, we have a very elaborate blueprint of what exactly the Bayis Shlishi will look like. Problem is, we don't really understand it too well, but we have a blueprint. And we have a very detailed description of what the Bayis Rishon looks like in Sefer Melochim. And we know what the Mishkan looks like in Parashas Terumah Tetzaveh, Vayachal Pekudei. But there's absolutely no mention whatsoever, not even one remes, as to the tzura, the image of the Bayis Sheni. However, in the Gemara and the Mishnayis, the entire Shisha Sidra Mishnah and the Talmud refers exclusively to the details of the Bayis Sheni. In Masechta Yoima, we have a very detailed description of what it looked like. And Mishnayis Midos, and Masechta Tamid, and throughout Shas, you have different pieces of information describing it in great detail. And we know more about the Bayis Sheni than we know about the Bayis Rishon, than the Mishkan. Okay, because we from the Gemara, and we have other records. So what's going on? So the answer is, And the answer is, this is what it says in the Teferes Yisrael in Hagdama to Masechta Midos, and other Mefarshim say pretty much the same thing. It's a very important Yisoid. When they came to build the Bayis Sheni, they took out the blueprints of the Bayis Shlishi. They opened up Sefer Yechezkel. When they were building the Bayis Sheni, they were standing there with Sefer Yechezkel, and they were reading Sefer Yechezkel. This is where the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh and the Ulam, they were reading from Sefer Yechezkel how to build the Bayis Shlishi. The problem was they couldn't come to an agreement of exactly what it means. Okay, they were trying, they're still counting the votes. They couldn't come to an agreement as to the pshat of how to build the Bayis Shlishi. Yechezkel gave over to them a detailed blueprint, but the people living at that time were confused as to the precise translation and understanding. Hashem did not reveal to them. Obviously, there was Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nehemiah, Ezra, and many other holy people living at this time, in Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, which were all in the category of Nevi'im, all holy people, but yet it was sealed from them the true clarity of what it means. So what did they do? They played it safe. They built a structure that would be good, b'di'eved, to fulfill the vision of the Bayis Shlishi. In other words, they are psukim telling you how to build it. We're not doing it correctly, that we know for sure, but b'di'eved, yoytze. Because the way we're going to build it can be a b'di'eved interpretation of what it says in the pasuk. It's not the true interpretation with all of the details, but it's good enough. Yoytze. The Bayis Sheni was built with the blueprints of the Bayis Shlishi because the goal was this structure we're building now, we're missing, we don't have with us now Nevi'im on the caliber that are able to fully decipher the depth of what Yechezkel meant in his Sefer. And unfortunately, at this time, we know that 95% of the Jewish people did not return to Eretz Yisrael, and a very large portion of the Jewish people intermarried. So there was something lacking. But the hope and yearning was, let's get on with the show. Let's do something, a token, a skeleton of the Bayis Shlishi, and let's get the process going. And hopefully, as the process begins to unfold, Klal Yisrael will be choizer b'shuva. The people in Golus will all return, will all do teshuva. The intensity of Kedusha will increase. An Eish Min HaShemayim will come down. We will then merit to raise in our midst Nevi'im, real Nevi'im, who will fully understand the depth of what Yechezkel said in his prophecy, and we'll make renovations. We'll do renovations in the Bayis Sheni to upgrade it to fulfill every single detail, and the Eish Men HaShemayim will return, and we'll discover where the Kelim of the Aron HaKodesh is, because there was no Aron in the Bayis Sheni, and this will happen, that will happen, and then one day, you'll wake up in the morning, and the headline news is, Mashiach has arrived. So, when Zechariah here is writing in his very time, he's telling them, I'm telling you, this is what you can do right now. Right now. Right now, Tzemach. Right now, Hineni Mevi Es Avdi Tzemach. When is Mashiach coming? Hayoim. Im Bekoiloi Tishmu. It's unfortunate that we did not take his words seriously enough, and we did not return, and intermarriage problem did not go away, and we just let things glide, and not only did it glide, it got even worse, which led to the base by a Sheni being destroyed entirely, again being dispersed into Golis even more, and now it's 1,951 years since the Churban, and we're still waiting. But when Zechariah made this statement, when he said over this Nevuah, he was dead serious that every single thing that he's saying now can happen immediately in my lifetime. If you don't want to get with the program, then that's why we now are, we continue to read these psukim. Oh, when are these words finally going to come true? They will come true at some point in time. It could have come true a long time ago. It's just that we didn't want it to come true. If you don't want, it's not going to happen. You cannot help a person that does not want to be helped. That's the rule. You have to want. With the will, you have to first want. If you want to be helped, then someone can come along and help you. Zechariah was willing to help them. Zechariah gave them all of the information. Yechezkel, who lived at this time, not that long ago, he lived 70 years ago, he gave him the blueprints for the Bayis Shlishi. Everything was given to Klal Yisrael on the silver platter. They don't want. They rather have some fun with some shiksas out there in Bava. That's what it all comes down to. And because of that, that's why everything was watered down. When there was a small token skeleton redemption, hopefully it would mushroom, it would develop into the Gula, but unfortunately that never happened, and not only did that not happen, it got worse, and it was destroyed, and here we are in Gaulis, all these years later, and we think we own the world, we think that we still own the world, and we don't realize that our Makayim over here is not here. It was a very, very, very good video from a rabbi. I didn't really pay much attention, just looked at it for 10 seconds before I went to sleep, look over some of the status updates on WhatsApp, and this caught my attention. I only listened to it like for literally 30 seconds, but it was really good. It was a Hasidish rabbi, and he said, he was talking to his kehil, he probably saw this, and he said, he has very good English, he has an accent, it's very, very, I see why they made him the rabbi, he has a koyach, and he said, Moshul Mohadav Adoyme, you're a guest in someone's home. Someone invites you to come to eat a Friday night meal. And then in the middle of the meal, the husband and wife break out in a fight. And they start cursing each other out. And each one heaps upon the other insults. It explodes. And you're sitting there at the dining room table watching the husband and wife curse each other out. What do you do? What do? You don't say a word. If you're smart, you keep your mouth shut. Why? Hey, I'm just a guest here. Don't get me involved. I'm just a guest. Okay, sometimes the husband will say, what do you say? What do you, why, what do you say? I'm just a guest here. So the rabbi says, Marshall, over here, we're in America. We're just guests in America. This is not where we belong. And now this big fight has broken out in this country. It's a massive fight. And we think we're the Balabatim here. We have a Groisa Deya. We have a Deya. This is the way it has to be. And this is the way it has to be. And this is the way it has to be. Even if you think you know who's right, you're just a guest here. Keep your mouth shut. None of your business. The goal is not to remain in this bias. The goal is you should have your own bias. The day should come that you're sitting with your wife at your table peacefully. This is not your house. So let's not get all worked up here. Right? Easy for me to say. Let's not get worked up here. What's going on? All right, let's proceed. Let's not take a look at the Rashi. Rashi here says that Hashem is referring to Zechariah and his colleagues. The Mitzudois, his colleagues, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, as Anshei Moifes. Because what do all four have in common? They were all thrown into a furnace, into a kiln, to be vaporized. And miraculously, all four of them survived. That's how the Mitzudos David translated the Pasuk, Anshei Moifes, you and your colleagues. Rashi, Pasuk Ches, on page 740, Ata Vireecha, you and your colleagues, Hananya, Mishael, V'Azariah, Hoyu, that's who the friends are. Mitzudos David took this from the Gemara. This is the Gemara. We'll see the Gemara a little soon as well. Anshei Moifes, you are people of wonders. What does that mean? Gavrin koshrin lenevad lohoin nisa. Now this is a very sh'af lohem nase nes. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel says the word kosher. Kosher people. There was another video I got on WhatsApp when the inspectors, they came into Pomegranate on Avenue. They came into Pomegranate on Avenue L and Coney Island. They were inspectors. What were they coming there for? I don't know. They were coming there maybe because they're supposed to be closed. And the video that went around the world was showing this woman saying, "Excuse me, sir, how can we help you? What are you doing here today in this location? This store has only kosher food and kosher people." What do you come here? Do you want kosher food? You don't seem to be from the people. You don't seem that you have an interest in kosher food. You know, kosher food is more expensive. Why are you here? Are you looking to make trouble? To give tickets? We only have kosher people here. We have kosher food and kosher people. If you don't need kosher food, then leave. And if you're looking to make trouble, you're in the wrong place because every person here is a kosher person. Well, this woman was mechavein to the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. This is not a joke.
I never saw this, the video, but whose hechsher was she referring to, though?
Okay, kosher people. Well, she was mechavein. Our sefer, our Zechariah, our art school edition is under the hechsher of the Badatz. You know that? The Badatz. It's the only edition of the Mikros Gedolos that has dats. Nikudos. Nikudos. This is the hechsher of the Badatz. Okay, Badatz, dats. Not just the Department of Transportation. We have the Bez Din Tzedek, Department of Transportation, and we have Pshutu Kimashmo. That's. Now it says over here, HaKohen HaGodol, so Rashi over here says, so this one was mechavim to the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. It's a beautiful Targum. Gavrin Koshrin, kosher people. Im Kosher HaDovar Lifnei HaMelech. Esther Hamalka, she is the one who invented the term. Im Kosher HaDavar Lifnei HaMelech, if it's kosher. Where does that word come from, kosher? Here you have a principle, kosher people. People who are good, upstanding people. Lemebad Lohaini, so that it's worthy that a miracle be done for them. Sha'af Lohem Naseh Neis. Not only was a miracle done for Zechariah, a miracle was done for Hananya, Mishael, V'Azariah. I'm sure you know the Vart, the joke. I think it's from the Satmirov. I'm sure you all of you remember the olden days where they have those neon signs. You don't see this anymore, those neon signs. Bosar kosher. And it blinks. Remember those neon signs? So the Satmirov would say, why does it blink? It's Bosar kosher. And it blinks, the kosher blinks. Sometimes it's kosher. Sometimes it's not. You got to be lucky. Come on a good day when it's kosher. That was the situation of kashrus back in the 50s. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Okay. Ki hirni mevi es avdi tzemach. What is that? I'm going to bring my servant tzemach. Ki im ata Zerubbabel pachas Yehuda katan. Now, Zerubbabel, it was a pachas Yehuda katan, bachatzar hamelech. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the melech. We learned this in the beginning. Zerubbabel, there were two people, leading in an official capacity. Who were the two people? Zerubbabel. He was the acting melech. Was he really in halacha melech? I don't know. But he was in that position as the melech. And Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol. So he writes here, Rashi, that even though now Zerubbabel, he's the melech, he's not the real melech. His power is severely limited. Ki im ata, he is with im. Even though now Zerubbabel, pachas, he is the governor. The word pachas is a term which diminishes the power and authority of the leader. Katan, even though ata Zerubbabel pachas Yehuda, katan b'chatzar hamelech, he's only considered minor. He's a katan. Ani matzmiach loy gedula. Rashi learns that he, Zerubbabel, I will elevate him. His powers will be augmented. It will be expanded to become much greater. Visham and there nisativ gedula. Visham there in Yerushalayim. I will give him greatness and renown. Vinoisnoi lichain. I will give him in the eyes of the people, he will have charm, he will have favor, they'll vote for him. Vinoisnoi lichain de eni hamelech lemaloi she'elosai. Who, which melech? I'm assuming he means Daryovesh HaParsi. That even though right now the Jewish people are being permitted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but they don't have pure autonomy. They don't have pure control.
Rabbi, good morning. So which pasuk are we up to here?
Zechariah, Perigimel, Rashi, Perikhes. Gimel, Ches. Perigimel, Perigimel, Pasuk, Ches, and Rashi. I will, in Rashi, I will give him over Lamale She'elosai. I will give him chain the eyes of Daryovesh HaParsi, that he will grant his every request. Bevinyan habayis v'chuir regarding building the Beis Hamikdash and rebuilding Yerushalayim. K'moish beforish beEzra divrei Nechemia ben Chakalia. Who is Nechemia ben Chakalia? So Rashi over here says something which I don't want to say controversial, but it's definitely a chiddush, and this is something which is discussed. Who Zerubbabel? Nechemia ben Chakalia is none other than Zerubbabel. Kid Amrinan bis Sanhedrin. Okay, so this is something which is a topic of discussion. If it's really the same person, we always have these type of issues where we have one person has many names. Okay, and Rashi here is no does not hold back. They are the same person. Zerubbabel, who was the Pachas Yehuda, who was the acting in the capacity of the Melech, he was none other than Nechemia ben Nechemia of Sefer Nechemia ben Chakalia. And over here, Hashem is telling Zechariah, although now at this moment his power is limited, I, giving you a bracha, I will bring within him tzemach. He will sprout forward, he will rise up and have be granted more authority. Pasuk tes, ki hinei ho'even. And what does this mean? So the Mitzudah stuff, it didn't really explain very much. He just said that every single stone is going to have shmira. Hashem is going to guard, the Jewish people guard the Beis HaMikdash. Ki hinei ho'even, yesoid habayis, asher yesadetem bimei koresh ubitlu al yideichem. So Rashi right away tells us a little bit more information, that the stone is the cornerstone, it is the foundation. The foundation has already been laid out at the time of Koresh. Koresh gave permission before the story of Purim to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the foundation was laid. And then came along the 10 sons of Haman, issued a sitna, and the construction was stopped. So we have to remember that during the time, the era of the miracle of Purim, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash was already laid out. It's like these construction sites, you walk by on the street and you see them boarded up for decades. Mm-hmm. and you look in the little window, and what do you see? You see the foundation is there, and then somehow they ran out of money. Something happened, and the construction project stopped. That's exactly what happened with the Beis HaMikdash. The foundation was all completed, and then there was a stop order, and that's when the story of Purim took place. So now he's saying that I'm now going to go back to this stone, referring to the foundation. The oiser ha'yisoy, that foundation, the oivi ha'chayim, the thickness of the wall, hoyam me'at be'enechem, was considered to be small in your eyes. K'moshim afarish be'ezra uvenuvas chagai. Okay, it was considered to be insignificant. It was considered to be, since it was never completed, you didn't give it much consideration. Okay, we'll see. I think we'll see more about this, what this means more in the Mefarshim in a few moments. So let's just keep this Rashi in our thoughts for a few moments. But now Hashem says, I'm going to expand. It's going to be expanded. It's going to become very significant in your own eyes. You're going to appreciate what is happening. And now we come to the very mystical expression on the stone. Al even achas shevo enoim, seven eyes. Soifoi laharchiv kol echod shevo. Al even achas shevo einoyim soifoi leharchiv al echod shevo. So he learns here the word ayin, not like the Mitzudei Stav explained that Hashem is going to provide shemira, but rather the ayin refers to your eyes, the eyes of human beings, and in your eyes, what was once upon a time one measure will now be seven measures. It's going to expand. Until now it was katan, it was small. Now it's going to be large. Now, does this mean that it was physically expanded? Or does this mean that the significance of what you have in your eyes will be expanded? Before, it's like you looked at it with one eye, or it's just an expression. You looked at it with your eyes, and in your eyes, no, it's a small thing. It's nothing, it's not so impressive. Now, your appreciation of what you're witnessing has been expanded seven times. And obviously the number seven is symbolic, which means, it means shlameless. It means the number seven, we know, is the totality of nature expanded beyond. We all can relate to this. How often in our lives do we look at something? We look at something, we see something, and we don't give it an expression, we don't give it a second look. And then somehow it grows on you. And then all of a sudden, you look at it again, and you look back a few weeks later, a year later, 10 years later, a decade later, wow, this is really choshev. You really appreciate, it's like a shidduch. First time you go out with someone, you don't give her a second look. And then before you turn around, she's your wife. And then she's everything. What was in the beginning was, now is my wife. She's the whole world. The whole world revolves around my wife. B'shivo einoyim. What was originally one eye, a lack of appreciation, is now going to expand, mushroom into an incredible appreciation. That's how we learn the word shivo einoyim. It's your eyes. One more time. Soifo laharchiv al echad shivo. From 1 to 7. Mechein tegim genesan al avna chado shivo chozion la. Now he explains more. Ulashoin einoyim. What is this funny word? Eyes. Lashoin mar ois. What you look at, your appreciation of what you look at is going to grow. The linira shiva einoyim. Here is where he comes to what the Mitzudei Stav taught us. No, whoever said this refers to our perception. It refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Al shem einei Hakadosh Baruch Hu shiva einoyim v'libo l'chayisef olav al echad shiva. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to add from 1 to 7. Lefi shedugma soy matzinu b'nevu azo v'ra'u es ho'even havdil b'yad ziru bavel, the stone of bedil. Bedil means lead. Habit of lead. Okay, this is nevu which we're going to come to later on, Perek Dalet. Shiva 7. Eile einei Hashem heima mishoytetim. In that pasuk, which we have yet to learn, it's clear from the context that the eye refers to Hashem's eyes. So Rashi is suggesting, if in Perek Dalet it says something very similar, and there the eye is Hashem's eyes, So we have a right to assume that here in Perek Gimel, when it says eye, it also refers to Hashem's eyes. Ma ro lo ma kan eini Hashem, heima meshoitetim. What does it mean? El limech nosan einav laharbois kivoyt habayis bevinyonoi. Hashem is paying attention to be marbe, the honor of the bayis when it's going to be built. The Pasuk says that the honor of the bayis sheni was more than the bayis rishon. But let's just take a verse that's very important to take note of. That Rashi is following the approach of the Metzudas David, but not the same. The Metzudas David says the purpose of the eyes is shemira, to guard. According to Rashi, it's not shemira, it's honor, kovod. It's a whole different league. Hashem is paying close attention to enhance its glory, its appreciation. The world will take note. It will be significant. The Metzudas David did not say that. Metzudas David said, it's just Hashem is going to protect you. You're in a very dangerous neighborhood. You are surrounded by terrorists. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect you seven times over than what you could imagine, as if Hashem has seven eyes to see every single problem. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying close attention to every single detail about the Beis HaMikdash, both in its physical structure, in its political influence over the world, in its holiness. It's just a matter of paying attention to the details of what is happening and influencing the events to bring out honor. We say this in the Nusach and Rosh Hashanah, give honor to your people. It's a whole different interpretation. So Sach HaKol, what do we take out of this? We take out of, so far we learned over three different perushim of what this very esoteric pasuk says. Ki hine, read the pasuk again, pasuk test. It says, ki hine, behold, ho even, the stone, asher nosati lifnei Yehoshua, this stone, al even achas, what was in the past one, is now going to be shiva einoim. What was once in the past achas will now be seven eyes. Translate this literally, it doesn't make any sense. And the only way to understand this is from the Mefarshim, Rashi's first interpretation. The Even refers to the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash that was built in the time of Koresh. It, in the past, was achas. In your eyes, it wasn't so important. You didn't appreciate at the time when Koresh gave you permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't care so much. It didn't mean much to you. But now I'm going to change the world where Shiva is going to be. The word Einoim goes back on both. It was Achas. Now it's going to be Shiva in Ayin Achas. Shiva Einoim. In your own eyes, it's going to be very, very significant. You know, it's like, you know what's so, this is the power, this is the way the world goes. You don't appreciate something until it's taken away from you. Klal Yisrael was given permission by Koresh to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, to build. And they came, they sent in their construction crews, and they started excavating, they started building. And then what, did they appreciate it? No. Pasuk here is, according to Rashi, the people that were involved in the construction, they didn't appreciate what was happening. Miracles were happening in front of their eyes. 70 years after the Churban, Hashem is saying, it's time to rebuild. Let's bring Mashiach. Okay, all right, we'll go. Do you realize what Hashem is doing for you? Do you realize what Hashem is doing for you? All right, big deal. Oh, you don't appreciate it. Okay, stop. Sitna, cancel, don't build. And what happened then? We were stunned. What? Stop? Then we first began to appreciate what Hashem did for us. That he allowed Koresh to give us permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then, when Daryovesh HaParsi many years later, was it 14 years later? Even more. Said, okay, proceed. Now we appreciate it. Because when it was taken away from us, that awakens us to realize how choshev it is. Say the same thing about Trump. Look, Trump became president. I have to confess, I don't remember I even voted for him last time. I definitely did not vote for Hillary, but I don't remember if I voted for him. I think I filled in someone's name. Maybe I filled in Mayor Appeldorf. I don't remember whose name I filled in. I filled in someone's, I don't remember. But now, when you see what the significance, you had a president that did quite a bit for Eretz Yisrael. You know, not like Obama, who said, I got your back. You know what that meant? I stab you in the back. Yeah, a president that did something, you know? He did quite a bit for Eretz Yisrael. And now, when it's being taken away from us, or whatever that means, you feel the pain. When something is taken away from you, you first begin to appreciate what you had. It's exactly what it says here. I gave you permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Achas. No. You appreciate it a little bit. And then when the Aseres B'nei Haman Kosvu Sitna, a stop order, accusation, which resulted in a stop order, then we began to appreciate the miracle that Koresh gave us permission. And it took many, many years until we were able to restore that permit. And then it was Shiva Einam. Then we appreciated it. It's the same thing with the State of Israel. The State of Israel was established in 1948. I think a lot of, no, many people really did appreciate it. But unfortunately, I think, you know, from a certain segment of society, there was a lack of appreciation that there is a makom in Eretz Yisrael called the State of Israel. And years later, it's now been almost 73 years later, I'm losing track already. I think people today, when they look back at that event, at the establishment of the Medina, then it was one eye. It was, we looked at it with one layer of appreciation. Today, 73 years later, in hindsight, it's Shiva Einayim. The significance, the miracle of what it enabled and what it did, when you look back in hindsight and you look at it again, it's not achas, it's Shiva. So this is a principle that Rashi says in his first...
Rabbi, you could say maybe Shiva Einayim, 7 decades, according to you. It's already 7 decades later.
We ain't finished yet. Okay. Shiva Einayim, but and everything in life is like that. And when something happens, you don't really, it's a mitzias. This is part of the human condition. It's a tragic reality of the human condition that when an event happens, achas. And in hindsight, when you look back at it years later, or in a situation where that achas is taken away from you, ooh, does it hurt? And then when you look at it, you look at it then with Shiva Einayim. And that's exactly what happened in the time of Zechariah. They were given permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Koresh, and the people didn't really appreciate it. It was katan. It was a small thing. Gunu Hashem, he smiled. He gave us permission. And then when the Aseres B'nei Haman said no more, that hurt. And then the significance in being able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash was viewed with Shiva Einayim, an expression, 7 eyes from our perspective. And then we have the second shot of Rashi that we're now referring to our eyes. We're referring to the eyes of Hashem. And Hashem over here is saying, the word achas, see, I have to clarify something, this is very important. The word achas is achas referring to the eyes, or is achas referring to the stone? How do you define, well, it's really, I mean, it goes both ways. Okay, how do you define the word achas? Is it al even on one stone? Now there are seven eyes, and we have to, on our own, extrapolate that what used to be one eye is now seven eyes, or two eyes is seven, whatever that means. Or no, we're talking about al even, period. Ki hineho even asher nasati lefnei Yehoshua, al even, achas shiva einayim. The achas is going on the eyes. So Rashi in his first interpretation does not say that. Rashi in his first interpretation says that the word achas goes on the I'm not even sure, you have to really clarify what Rashi really means. But the idea is true no matter what. But according to Rashi's second interpretation, we're referring over here to the binyan, Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's his eyes that are going to look at the binyan on this Evan. The Evan is a symbol. Why is the Evan a symbol for the Beis HaMikdash? Parashas Vayetze. When Yaakov Avinu woke up from his dream and he said, Evan Hazois, Asher Samti Matseva, Yihyeh Beis Elokim. Yaakov Avinu, when he woke up from his dream, he said that this Evan Achas, this one stone, will be a Beis Elokim. That was the stone that miraculously combined all of the 12 stones that he put around his head when he went to sleep at night. This one stone. So here we're referring to that stone. That one stone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to pay very, very close attention to make sure that every single detail is fulfilled and is applied to bring out the greatest honor in its construction and its existence. The Mitzudos David says almost the same thing, but instead of saying, referring to that the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to glorify it by paying close attention to the details of its construction and its honor, he says Hashem is going to guard it. Hashem is going to guard it for dear life to make sure that no one gets hurt, nothing bad happens.
A very small percentage of the people in Babel returned.
Yeah.
Those are the people who appreciated this opportunity, recognizing the importance of returning to Israel and building the
So,
are we saying they didn't appreciate this? They for sure they appreciated
it. They appreciated it, but not to what they should have, what they could have. There's more to appreciate. If 95% of Klal Yisrael is not interested in coming back home, that doesn't affect you, that doesn't weaken your resolve.
Oh, but the people who did come.
So what? If you're a public speaker and you have an idea you want to present and you believe that this idea is the best thing that ever happened to the world since sliced bread, and you have an audience of 100 people and you tell them the idea and they look at you and they all fall asleep. You're not going to say that the speaker goes home from the speech, I guess it's not the best thing that happened to the world since sliced bread. If the people were not receptive, did not appreciate what I told them, it affects me. Kimayim panim el panim, kim lev b'nei adam. It's a reflection. If you don't appreciate what I'm telling you, it must be that I'm not what I think I am. I'm living in a world of fantasy. So if 95% of the Jewish people are not interested in going back to Eretz Yisrael, you don't think that affects the 5% who do appreciate it? They don't have a team behind them. It definitely takes away from the full appreciation that they should have had. Okay, let's go further. Next Rashi. The next Rashi on page, you turn the page to page 742.
How come nobody else said, I mean, what you just said was what the Abarbanel says. But none of the other Mepharshim say that. But he says the Shiva Einayim is a remez that if you think that this is what it's going to be, the Shiva Einayim, he says, is going to be the Beis HaMikdash Lasid Lavo that Hashem is going to build it. Shiva Einayim, it's going to come down already made.
That's a Kabbalistic concept. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to go there. That's a whole different mahalach. Okay, all right, okay.
That's the reference.
Hirni mifatech pitucha. What does this mean? So we learn the mitzvah of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to etch. He's going to take an awl and he's going to etch designs into the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to make it beautiful. Rashi, Hinei mifateach pituchah, he has an entirely different translation for this word. He says, matir kishoreha mefer atzas oivim, asher kosvu sitna levatal hamalacha. Mifateach means he's going to open up. Doesn't mean to etch. It means to open. Poseach sh'orim. Comes from the word of poseach, to open up.
Or to undo.
To undo. And the word pitucha means, he learns this word to mean, it's kishoreha. It's knots. Okay, he's being creative in translating the word pitucha. I guess this is another example. We have to write this down in our long, long list of words where when you manipulate the vowels, it goes from one extreme to another extreme. A Pesach is an opening. So if you take the word Pesach and you manipulate its vowels, it turns into a sealed wall, a wall. You can't go past the mark. It's sealed, it's locked up. An opening versus a closed door. I'm going to open up what was closed. There was a stop order, and that meant there would be no construction. I'm going to open up what was locked up. It's the same word. It's just the way you manipulate the vowels. Yishrosh, yisharesh. Same exact letters. One word means it shall take root, and yisharesh means to uproot. A Pesach, we translate it to mean an opening. But when you manipulate its vowels, it means a closing. Hineni mifatech, I will open up. Pitucha, it's closing. Okay, so this is another classic example of taking a word and using it, taking the words and going from one extreme to another. Mefer atzas.
There is another point that I see here. I don't know if it's not a pshat, but Eretz Yisrael nowadays is mitpatachat. It's me developed, the development of Eretz Yisrael.
It's opening up, same idea.
No country in the world was in such a short time developed so much. And the whole world is looking at Eretz Yisrael. You can see the enemies now, suddenly they want to join us. Suddenly they want peace. One country after the other. And now they were talking about Saudi Arabia also making officially peace with Israel. It's and Shiva'ayinayim is everybody's looking at us. Not only not Hashem, it's one.
So you're saying very good var. You're saying you're suggesting.
Detail.
We're going to add to the art school edition the Parish Rabbeinu Kalman. And the word Einayim means the eyes of the Umay Sa'olam, the eyes, until now the eyes of Hashem, our eyes, the Jewish people, and now we have another pshat, the eyes of the Umay Sa'olam, they will come to appreciate the value of Klal Yisrael and their Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beisi Beis Tefila L'chol Ho'amin. Excellent. Very nice. I like what you're saying.
Yeah, but in reference to this week's parsha, Rabbi Alpert says, why did Avimelech now finally come to the peace talks and make the deal with Avram Avinu? Because Avram was always thought to be Midas HaChesed totally. He was always so kind. But if he had the gumption to kick out his own son, Yishmael, now he said, Avram is not exactly who I thought he was. He's not a pushover. He has that Midas HaGzorius, and since he is, obviously, he has God on his side, I want to make a peace treaty.
He saw the...
Security comes from strength. Your show of strength is what you need to show. That's the Limud Enis on this parsha. Yeah.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go further. Next, Mashli, the word Mashli, I will remove from the Jewish people their sins. I will remove their sins, b'yoyim echad. Now, the word b'yoyim echad is a very bizarre word expression. On one day, what does that mean? B'yoyim echad umashti es avayin ha'aretz ahi b'yoyim echad. What? B'yoyim hahu. What do I mean b'yoyim echad? V'hoyu Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom ahuu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. What do you mean b'yom echad? What does this mean? Lo yodati eize yom. Rashi, intellectual honesty. I don't know what this means. I have no idea what this means. Why does Rashi have to tell us that? Let Rashi just say nothing. Rashi does not comment on every single word of the Torah. He only comments on selected words. So the words he does not comment on, either he doesn't know or he has nothing to say. So why does Rashi have to emphasize lo yodati? Obviously, there's a lot of depth here. It's not just sometimes when you don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know, so you don't have to know everything. No one knows everything. But when you say lo yodati, it has a connotation. This is important. There's something very important to know. You have to know every detail about Avraham Avinu's life. You have to know what kind of clothing he wore. Do you have to know if he wore a strimal or wore a black hat, a leather yarmulke, a kippah sruga? Is it really important to know? Maybe he didn't wear a yarmulke altogether. He wore a linen yarmulke. What did he wear exactly? Guess what?
Rabbi, yeah. You see the Pirush Reb Elezer.
Yeah.
He has a gifts of Yom
Ha'u. Oh, very good. I didn't know that. What about the Mitzvah? What about the Mincha Shai? Is there a Mincha Shai on this? Is there a Mincha Shai Pasig Yud? No. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer.
Bojan C.
Yeah. Well, let me see what you're saying. Bayo biyom echad, yachad, bayom, bayom alhu pasuk yod. No. That's not the gears. No, that's the next pasuk.
He has to say
that's pasuk yod.
No,
otherwise that's pasuk yod.
It's obvious.
I think it's an obvious thing, so he wants you to know that you're in the same boat. I'm in the same boat with you. If you don't understand it, I don't understand it either. I don't know. Otherwise, you think, oh, I should know.
Where do you see another girsa?
Anyway, he mixed up what's in the next pasuk.
No, he didn't. It's there. Bayom Echad. I'm reading it.
Where are you reading? Where are you reading from? We're sprawling this here. Where are you reading from?
No, it's not. That's for the next pasuk.
No, it's not.
Where?
Go down four lines from Umashti.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bayom Echad.
Bayom Echad, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Bayom
Echad. So, no, so he's saying there's another guest, Bayom Ahu.
That's the next pasuk.
Right, so there's no mistake. Everyone agrees with the Girsa. There's no change in the Girsa. Biyoyim bingin habayis, ubagu yachad atzayfim, and mishol vasidna. So the Girsa is good. So the Girsa is good. So Rashi, when Rashi says lo yodati, let's explain. Do you have to know? I'll give you an example. Avraham Avinu, what did he look like? Well, how was he dressed? At the time of the Akedah, what was he dressed? Was he wearing a Ralph Lauren suit? What was he wearing at the Akedah, Avraham Avinu? It doesn't matter. Lo yodati, I don't know, and guess what? Who cares? It doesn't make a difference. When Rashi says lo yodati, you know what that means? It makes a big difference. It does make a difference. And because I do not know what it means, there's something lacking in our understanding of Hashem, of the message, of the Nevuah. It's a painful awareness that we're in trouble. Rashi doesn't just say lo yodati, because I don't know. If he says lo yodati, it means I am in pain. There is a message. There is an important message. I would be a different person. I would have a different outlook on life if I knew what this meant. Because I sense that this thing makes a difference. There are an infinite number of details in life that don't make a bit of a difference. But this detail does make a difference, and he says like that, and that's every time we have a Rashi that says lo yadati, that's what he comes to allude to. Pasuk Bay, okay, that's it. Okay, so that ends this section. Now let's take a look over here.
You know what? Who else said lo yadati ezayom?
Yeah.
Yaakov. Lo yadati yom moti. Ani lo yadati matay niyamut. Vata sana kelecha tavili ochel. So, you know, let's work on today, because you don't know what will happen, when it's going to be. So don't look at that yom.
You mean Yitzchak?
Every
Yitzchak,
yom Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Right. Yitzchak, 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 lo yadati yom moti. You never know. A person knows his expiration date. There's no date when he's born.
Okay, no. let's learn one more paragraph. Let's learn one more paragraph. We started with one more paragraph, and it's a new shot in the word of the eyes. Whose eyes? We had so far already four perushim. It's Hashem's eyes. It's our eyes. Or three. And Rav Kalman said, it's the eyes of the world. Now let's look at the Radak. The Radak pasuk test. Just do one paragraph. Radak pasuk test. Kineho evin. Who evin habedil shemiyashin by habinyan. This is what Rashi alluded to before. This would be the next parak. This is a weight. This is part of a. It's not a real stone. It's a what's it called? A plumb line. A plumb line. This is a tool of construction. The Evan Habedil, lead. It's heavy. You attach a string and you drop it and you create now a vertical line. It's perfectly straight. The Evan Habedil. That's what it said in Rashi, the cornerstone or the foundation. He will put it. He will establish it before Yoshua. Like it says, we're going to see in Perek Dalet. Okay, not to that yet. Evan Haroisha means the cornerstone, or it means the foundation stones. Al even achas shiva einayim. Al kol even ve'even yiyu shiva einayim. Roitz loymar shemirois rabois me'es vakel yisparach mibnei chatzorim hachishvim lahashpis melachtam. That's what the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David stole it from the Radak. Okay, he's always a malachit. The only difference is he doesn't have footnotes to tell you where his sources are. Ancient times they were not so makbid on plagiarism. They didn't give you footnotes, but obviously the Mitzudas David from the latecomers, he selects, he's very selective who he likes, and he took it clearly over here from the Radak. The Eilehem Shiva Eine Hashem She'omar Lemata. We're going to have again, so he's learning the eyes are Hashem's eyes. Hashem is going to protect, he's going to guard the construction, either the building itself, which is the construction. No one's going to stop you again. The Evan Habedil, the plumb line, or he's going to guard the actual binyan, the foundation. No one's going to play games. V'shiva husach cheshboin. What's the significance of number seven? Husach cheshboin. It's a sum. It's a complete sum of parts. Al haroiv eina shiva dafka. It doesn't mean the word shiva. It doesn't. He's saying it's not a precise number. It's a concept, okay, abstractions. It's like a morale. The number seven, don't literally seven eyes. It means a lot. It means a total amount, the totality of Shemira. V'chein sheva kechatoy sechem. I'm going to punish you for your sins. A total punishment. In the toichecha, okay, there are many farshim do try to find the word seven, exactly a detailed translation of the word seven. But it means a total punishment. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzadik falls down seven. Seven times, really? I could show you tzadikim that fell down 50 times. What does it mean, seven? It means the totality of falling down. The hadam lochem, the adoni avi zal perish shiva dafka. No, the word seven is, to be very precise. And here he says something that is amazing. You know, you think it's sukkis, but he got the Ushpizin all wrong. Who are the Ushpizin here? Who are the Ushpizin? Vehem Yehoshua, Ezra, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah. Excuse me, didn't Rashi say that Nehemiah is Zerubbabel? So you see over here the Radak disagrees that Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are not the same person. Vesholosh Nevim Chagai Zechariah Malachi. The Tirgim Yonasim, then he quotes Yonasim, which says, Shiva Anyin Chos Yonlei Hashem's seven eyes, which means with Rashi's first interpretation, you, the Jewish people, will appreciate what you have as if your eyes are gooey. What's the expression? I don't know what it means in English. When you look at something with endearment, Your eyes are
googly eyes.
Googly eyes. Yeah. Google eyes. So that's what the
target. It was in yesterday's crossword puzzle. Where? in the Times. Oh well.
Okay. So that's is Rashi's first interpretation, which really is the same thing as the Targum, and that's you understand. But then he quotes also. But he said here a new interpretation. The seven eyes, seven ushpizin. The Ushpizin of the Bayis Sheni, Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, Ezra, he was the spiritual leader of the Jewish people. Zerubbabel, he was the political leader. He was the Melech, the acting Melech. Nehemiah was a community organizer. he wasn't the Melech. What?
The leadership.
Excellent. Right? So, the Eine Ho'eda, Gvaldik, the Eine Ho'eda. There are going to be seven leaders that are going to pay attention to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. The Kohen Gadol, the Melech, Ezra, Nehemiah, Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. Unbelievable. Okay, a whole new pshat, and he doesn't want to disturb Targum Yonason, which was Rashi's first shot, is that you will appreciate what you see before your eyes. So we look over here now, and he's told four perushim, what it means to eyes. Either it's going to be Hashem's eyes, it's going to be the Jewish people's eyes. Rav Kalman said it's going to be the eyes of the Umar Sa'ilam. And we have another interpretation. It's going to be the eyes of the leaders, the seven leaders who lived in this generation. Okay, we'll take a short break and then we will continue. We'll take a short break after a commercial from our sponsor, those who make eyeglasses. Okay, we'll be back in a moment.
That's why the Abarbanel says, "Be